Fred Film Radio, International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 ITFA, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Mikaela Krogh. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So you're presenting a film called A Year of Hope. Would you be able to start the interview by just maybe telling our listeners a little bit about it?
It's a film from the Philippines, and it's about a group of boys from the Manila, street boys, who have been living in the streets for many years. They are addicted to drugs, they're used to beg or to steal. And then they are invited for a rehabilitation center for 1 year on an island. Very, very different from the Manila. It's like a paradise. They have their own bed. They get food 5 times a day. They get their own clothes. And they get a lot of attention, love. It's a kind of a family place. So they really feel have the feeling of being a part of the family. But the thing is, they are only going to stay there for 1 year. So they really have to develop and work on their own development, so they can build up themselves again, so they can go back to Manila, but not going back to the streets, going back to a kind of a better life. Many of them have also been sexual and violent abused, so they also have a lot of traumas that they have to deal with. And during the year, they also do a lot of therapy, they do performance, and they really work with the traumas to get over them, so they can be strong enough to protect themselves.
What is the situation in the Philippines? Why is there a need for such institutions?
The Philippines is it's a combination of many things, but they're very influenced by the colonization. First the Spanish people were there, then the American came, then the Japanese came, so they're very confused about their own culture. They're Catholics, and actually it's the only country in the world where you are not allowed to get divorced. And you are not allowed to, they don't have any family program, so they get a lot of children. They don't protect themselves when they have sex. So each family have maybe 10 or 12 children, so they're not, and they're very poor, so they're not able to feed them, take care of them. So they start really to take care of them, give them love during the first 1 to 3 years. But then they have new babies, and then the older one just have to be on their own and take care of themselves. And they create numbers. There's more than 1 million street kids in the Philippines.
So these kids are left to their own devices, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So that's why, actually, it was a Danish-American couple who went to the Philippines on a holiday 27 years ago, and they saw the reality, and they decided to do something, and they moved out there and opened this center where they do this residential program, and then they also do a lot of other work, create awareness against sexual abuse, and they have many different programs to try to make a better life for the children in the Philippines.
Now, of course, one of the things that I noticed in your film is that the center does a wonderful job, but it also can't force the kids to stay.
Yeah, that's also a very important part of the story, because unfortunately it's not every children you can help. I mean, in this case the boy was too damaged already, and he was a lady boy, and he was really like missing his life on the street, in dressed as a woman, hanging out with the other gays, and so it was too difficult for him to change his whole mindset. Yeah. Unfortunately, so that's a very sad story, but I also think it's important to tell that it's not all happy end.
Of course. And another powerful moments in the film were the ones in which these kids discuss drug use, heavy drug use, which is quite shocking to see, I guess.
Also because they're very young. I mean, they start using drugs in an age of maybe 7, 8, or 9. The older kids on the streets learn them how to do it, and then they just get addicted.
So anyways, as far as you're concerned, what was it that interested you about the story?
I mean, I'm very... for me, it was the fact that you really can change the future of a damaged child. That how much capacity do we have as a human if we meet the right amount of love, attention, and care. And I think that's an important story to tell, that there is hope for everybody. Yeah. In the right circumstances.
So, of course, it requires you to travel to the Philippines. And how much time did you spend there, and how did you approach the documentary?
Actually, I decided to move out there with my family, so I stayed there for a whole year. The program is a year. So I have my husband and my three sons. They came with me because I didn't want to be this kind of a film director just flying in now and then. And I really want to be close to the children. And I really wanted to be there at the crucial development and the crucial moment. And, I mean, you never know when is that. So we moved into a small village next to the center on this island and stayed there for the entire year.
Was it difficult to do that, especially because you yourself moved with your family?
I mean, that was a challenge, but I think it was also very good for my children from Denmark to see another part of life and realities that is very different from the very protected and nice life in Denmark.
Yeah. Now, when you say that you got close to the children, were they also willing to? I mean, did they? What was their reaction to the cameras, basically?
Yeah, I was there from the beginning. So they were actually, I think the generation today, they're so used to cameras, so they don't care that much about it. And I was not filming all the time. Very often I also just had the feeling, okay, now they just need a break from the camera, and I don't have to cover every single minute in their life. This is not a Big Brother. I was there for a year to make a feature film of 90 minutes, so I really try to find the balance between not filming and filming. And I talked a lot with them about being filmed, but they didn't care that much about it. And then I also, because I have two main characters in the film, and I knew them very much from the beginning, that's what's the two that I wanted to follow. But the group, since they were a group of boys, they didn't knew it, because it was very important not to point out two children in the group. So I actually pretend that all of them was main characters. So I was pretending I was filming a lot. But I was not. But
I guess also then, while you're filming, you're also, just to get in with the group, you might have to establish a level of trust. Did you have to do that?
But in the beginning, when they came to the center, they were actually very much in shock. Because, yeah. I mean, many of them have very bad experience with people who have used them in a very bad way. Some of them have, you also hear that in the film here, how they have been taken by foreigners to hotel rooms and being abused and locked in for many days as prisoners. So in the beginning they were a little bit scared about being transferred from Manila to the island, to the center, because who is this? I mean, is that people who want us some good thing, or is it just people who want to use us one more time? So in the beginning, of course, I was very careful. And then slowly I came closer and closer to them. But the good thing was also that the center was so aware of the boys and their feelings. So they also took the responsibility. It was not my responsibility. And the boys could also go to the center and say, I'm tired of the camera and so on. I mean, so I think it was, in that way, it was very nice. I was not alone with the responsibility. I could all the time talk to the social workers about it, but it was not a big problem.
No.
They were just used to it. Yeah. And I was also a part of their everyday life, and my boys were playing a lot with them, and my husband was the football coach, and so it was, everything was kind of the same world.
That's great. Just as a follow-up, I mean, I've seen the film, and it's very interesting and powerful, like I said. So when this year is over, what you kind of hinted at what happens after the year is over, but is there a hope from the centre even to do more, to be able to do more when the kids leave and just to look after them?
Yeah, when the boys leave the center, there's different options. The best option is if they have a family, then they can go back to the family if the family have a place to live. And then they can be reunited with the family. Many of them haven't seen their family for ages, but the center, they are very good to find the families, even in Manila with 20 million people. And then they give them scholarships so they can continue in school. And they keep the contact with the boys and keep helping them with the school material, school uniforms, and all what they need to be able to study. If the family are not able to take them back, what is the case for one of the boys from the film, because the mother is just living on the highway with nothing, no house, no nothing. So he's transferred to another center, an educational center for boys. And then they also keep the contact with him and make sure that he will get a high school if he's able. Not all of them are able to finish high school, but then get another kind of handcraft education, so they can get a job. I mean, that's the goal for all of them. And this center have actually very good success. 85% of all the boys who have been through the residential program do not return to the streets.
Thank you very much for joining us and talking to us about it. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.